Fourth Canto, Chapter 23. Maharaj Prithu's Going Back Home, Text 18. Tam sarva guna vinyasam,
tam sarva guna vinyasam,
jive maya maye nadha,
jive maya maye nadha,
tam chanu shayam atmastham,
tam chanu shayam atmastham,
ashavanu sai puma,
ashavanu sai puma,
jnana vairagya virjena,
jnana vairagya virjena,
sarupastho jaha prabhu,
sarupastho jaha prabhu,
tam sarva guna vinyasam,
tam sarva guna vinyasam,
jive maya maye nadha,
jive maya maye nadha,
tam chanu shayam atmastham,
tam chanu shayam atmastham,
ashavanu sai puma,
ashavanu sai puma,
jnana vairagya virjena,
jnana vairagya virjena,
sarupastho jahat prabhu,
sarupastho jahat prabhu,
tam sarva guna vinyasam,
tam sarva guna vinyasam,
jive maya maye nadha,
jive maya maye nadha,
tam chanu sayam atmastham,
tam chanu sayam atmastham,
asavanu shayi puma,
asavanu shayi puma,
jnana vairagya virjena,
jnana vairagya virjena,
sarupastho jahat prabhu,
sarupastho jahat prabhu,
tam
unto him
sarva guna vinyasam, the reservoir of all qualities, jive
unto the designations,
maya maye,
the reservoir of all
potencies, nyadhat, placed,
tam,
that,
cha,
also,
anushayam,
designation,
atmastham,
situated in self-realization,
asho,
he,
anushayi,
the living entity,
uman,
the enjoyer,
jnana,
knowledge,
vairagya,
renunciation,
virjena,
by the prowess of, sarupastha,
being situated in one's constitutional position,
ajahat,
returned home,
prabhu,
the controller.
Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Prithu Maharaj then offered the total designation of the living entity unto the Supreme Controller of Illusory Energy. Being released from all the designations by which the living entity became untrapped, he became free by knowledge and renunciation and by the spiritual force of his devotional service. In this way, being situated in his original constitutional position of Krishna consciousness, he gave up this body as a Prabhu, or controller of the senses. Please repeat after me. Prithu Maharaj then offered
the total designation of the living entity
unto the Supreme Controller
of illusory energy.
Being released from all the designations
by which the living entity becomes entrapped,
he became free by knowledge and renunciation,
and by the spiritual force of his devotional service.
In this way, being situated in his original constitutional position
of Krishna consciousness,
he gave up this body
as a Prabhu, or controller of the senses. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the Vedas, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the source of the material energy. Consequently, He is sometimes called Mayamay, or the Supreme Person, who can create His pastimes through His potency known as the material energy. The jiva, or the individual living entity, becomes entrapped by material energy by the supreme will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita 18:61, we understand Ishvara sarva bhutanam riddeshe arjuna tishtati bhramayan sarva bhutani jantra rudhani mayaya. Ishvara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is situated within the heart of all conditioned souls, and by His supreme will, the living entity or the individual soul gets the facility to lord it over material nature in various types of bodies, which are known as jantra, or the moving vehicle offered by the total material energy, maya. Although the individual living entity, jiva, and the Lord are both situated within the material energy, the Lord is directing the movements of the jiva soul by offering him different types of bodies through the material energy. And thus the living entity is wandering throughout the universes in various forms of body and becomes implicated in different situations, partaking of the reactions of fruitive activities. When Prithu Maharaj becomes spiritually powerful by the enhancement of his spiritual knowledge, jnana, and renunciation of material desires, he became a Prabhu, or master of his senses, sometimes called Goswami or Swami. This means that he was no longer controlled by the influence of material energy. When one is strong enough to give up the influence of material energy, he is called Prabhu. In this verse, the word sarupastha is also very significant. The real identity of the individual soul lies in understanding or attaining the knowledge that he is eternally a servant of Krishna. The understanding is called sarupa upalabdhi. By his actual relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this understanding of one's spiritual position is called sarupapalabdhi. And when one attains that stage, he can understand how he is related with the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a servant or friend or as a parent or conjugal lover. This stage of understanding is called sarupastha. Prithu Maharaj realized his sarupa completely. And it will be clear in the later verses that he personally left this world or this body by riding on a chariot sent from Vaikuntha. In this verse, the word Prabhu is also significant. As stated before, when one is completely self-realized and acts according to that position, he can be called Prabhu. The spiritual master is addressed as Prabhupada, because he is a completely self-realized soul. The word pad means position, and Prabhupada indicates that he is given the position of Prabhu, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for he acts on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless one is a Prabhu or controller of the senses, he cannot act as a spiritual master, who is authorized by the Supreme Prabhu or Lord Krishna. In his verses, praising the spiritual master, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, Shakshat Dharitena Samasta Shastrai Uktas Tatha Bhavata Eva Sattva. The spiritual master is honored as much as the Supreme Lord, because he is the most confidential servitor of the Lord. Thus, Prithu Maharaj can also be called Prabhupada, or as described here in Prabhu. Another question may be raised in this connection. Since Prithu Maharaj was a power as an empowered incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shaktavish Avatar, why did he have to execute the regulative principle in order to become a Prabhu? Because he appeared on this earth as an ideal king, and because it is the duty of the king to instruct the citizens in the execution of devotional service. He followed all the regulative principles of devotional service in order to teach others. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although Krishna himself, taught us how to approach Krishna as a devotee. It is said, Aponi Achari Bhakti Shikhamu Jivari, Shikhamu Shabari. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed others in the process of devotional service by setting the example himself through his own personal actions. Similarly, Prithu Maharaj, although a Shaktavesh avatar incarnation, still behaved exactly as a devotee in order to achieve the position of Prabhu. Furthermore, Sarupastha means complete liberation, as it is said in Bhagavad Gita, in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.10.6, Hitta anhitya natha rupam sarupena vyavasthitihi. When a living entity abandons the activities of Maya and attains the position from which he can execute devotional service, his state is called sarupastha, or complete liberation. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Tan Sarva Guna Vinyasam Jive Maya Mayin Nathat Tan Chanu Shayam Atmastham Asavanu Shai Bhuman Gyana Vairagya Virjena Sarupastha Ajahat Prabhu. Prithu Maharaj then offered the total designation of the living entity into the supreme controller of illusory energy. Being released from all the designations by which the living entity became entrapped, he became free by knowledge and renunciation and by the spiritual force of his devotional service. In this way, being situated in his original constitutional position of Krishna consciousness, he gave up this body as a Prabhu, a controller of the senses. So this is a wonderful chapter, very, very informative and illustrative chapter describing how a pure devotee, a self-realized soul, leaves his body. Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada often used to point out, is not just some faith or some sentimental practice. Krishna consciousness is a science, and Krishna consciousness actually is the science or is the process of conquering the cycle of birth and death. Krishna consciousness, or the Vedic teachings in general, is the process of attaining immortality. Shrindantu Vishe Amritasya Putra. One of the first instructions of the Vedas is the
Amritasya Putra, listen, the children of immortality in this world, how to overcome, how to conquer the cycle of birth and death. This material nature is Martaloka. It's called Martaloka. Martaloka means Mrityuloka. The word Martaloka literally means Mrityuloka. The loka or the place of death. In this material nature, everyone is subjected to birth and death. Anyone who is born must die. Jatasya hi dhruva mrityur, dhruvam janma mrityasya cha. Anyone who is born must die. So this is the reality. So that means in this material nature, everyone is subjected to death. But Krishna consciousness is the process that shows how to conquer death. Nowadays, one practice has become quite popular, the art of living. Art of living. But actually, art of living is not important. Even a dog knows how the art of living. Actually, a dog knows the art of living better than human beings. Actually, the real process is the art of dying. Krishna consciousness is teaching us the art of dying, how to die. And dying properly, knowing the or mastering the art of dying, one becomes immortal. That is the process. You know how to die? Then you will attain immortality. Sometimes Prabhupada used to quote a Bengali proverb, Shadhan karo, bhajan karo, morte jangle hoy. That all the sadhan bhajan, all the practices of spiritual activities is simply to understand how to die. If you do all your sadhan bhajan and don't know how to die, till all your sadhan bhajan has gone to waste. All the sadhan bhajan is actually meant for knowing the art or mastering the art of dying. And here in this chapter, it is being pointed out how to die. Everyone knows, everyone sees that everybody is dying. We see so many people are dying. So death is a reality. Death is actually in this material nature. Death is the absolute reality, absolute truth. In the material nature, everything else is relative. Everything is relative. The only one absolute truth in this material nature is death. Everybody has to die. So if we want to approach the absolute truth, that is the point where we have to start. We have to accept the fact that we are going to die someday. And here we are seeing how Prithu Maharaj is living his body. Prabhupada pointed out that Prithu Maharaj did not wait for the time for death to come to him. Prithu Maharaj, out of his own will, he decided to live his body. And this has been described how Prithu Maharaj left his body. He made his consciousness rise, penetrating the Sat chakras, the six chakras, which is generally in yoga process, it's called Kundalini Yoga. The yogis actually, Siddha yogis, they know how to open the chakras. Those chakras, it has been, I think, in the 15th verse. No, it's 14. I'll just read this, the translation. When Prithu Maharaj practiced a particular yogic sitting posture, he blocked the doors of his anus with his ankles, pressed his right and left calves, and gradually raised his life air upward, passing it onto the circle of his navel, up to his heart and throat,
and finally pushed it upward to the central position between his two eyebrows. In this way, Prithu Maharaj gradually raised his air of life up to the hole in his skull, whereupon he lost all desire for material existence. Gradually, he merged his air of life with the totality of air, his body with the totality of earth, and the fire within his body with the totality of fire. The yogis speak about opening the Sat Chakra. I mean, that is actually the purpose of Ashtanga Yoga. The yogis achieve siddhi. The siddhis are actually synonymous to the opening of the chakras. One chakra opens, they get some siddhi. Another chakra opens, they get some other siddhi. In this way, they receive different siddhi. And there are six chakras, as it has been pointed out. The base is Muladhara, which is opposed to the anus, or in the anus. The vertebral column actually ends in a triangular bone, right, circular bone. So, according to the yoga understanding, that is the Muladhara. It is the seating place of the energy, life energy. And then the next chakra, the first chakra actually is the chakra which is situated opposite to the genitals. And everybody's life energy actually circulates between this two points, Muladhara to the genitals. And that's why everybody is involved in the activities of sex life. In the material nature, the whole life revolves around sex desire. But a yogi has to control sex desire. Unless and until a yogi knows how to control sex desire, he can't actually practice yoga. Ashtanga Yoga will not be possible to practice. If one cannot, how can he rise his life energy and penetrate through the other chakras if it is not able to rise above that? And that is why it is so important that a yogi or a person who is interested in spiritual life must be a celibate. Celibate means he must know how to retain the life energy within the body without letting it go out of the body. That is the meaning of brahmacharya. The life energy is not allowed to go out of the body. And as this energy is retained in the body, then the chakras, he is able to open up one chakra after another. The chakra next to that is against the navel, it has been pointed out. Then the heart. Then the throat. Not exactly this position, but in the vertebral column, these are the centers. You can say these are the important nerve centers. Because nerves are actually coming out of the vertebral column. Spinal cord. And then between the eyebrows. And then finally is the breath center. So the ultimate perfection of yoga is to reach that breath center, which is considered to be a thousand petaled lotus. Sahasrara. Sahasra means thousand and ara means petal. It is like a thousand petaled lotus, the brain center. And then, at that point, a yogi can master the art of living his body anytime he wants. As Prabhupada is pointing out in this purport. That when one reaches that Sahasrara, then he loses all desire for material existence. And he becomes situated in perfect spiritual, his spiritual identity. So, then Prabhupada pointed out that A devotee should not lament that, oh, we didn't learn this Ashtanga Yoga system. Progress is not necessary. A devotee's business is to surrender to Krishna. His business is to surrender to Krishna, depend upon Krishna, and whichever way Krishna wants him to live his body, he'll live his body. And Krishna is so kind that when somebody sincerely surrenders unto him, Krishna takes care of him in full respect. In all respects. In complete totality, in complete perfection, Krishna takes care. Another thing that we can also consider here, that of course Prithu Maharaj is leaving his body. He is leaving his body in a particular way. But it was not really necessary for Prithu Maharaj to leave his body in this way. How he did that, how he left his body, as it has been pointed out, like through the chakras, he made his consciousness to rise to the brain center. And then he merged the life air to the air, the body to the earth, and the fire in the body to the total fire. And prior to that, it has been also described that how the earth aspect was offered to water, then water aspect was offered to fire, fire aspect was offered to air, and air aspect was offered to ether. Then he focused his entire mind and consciousness into his actual spiritual identity. And in this way, he became completely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, recognizing his constitutional position. And what is the constitutional position? Jiver Swarup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. The constitutional position of a living entity is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. But then Prabhupada is pointing out that Prithu Maharaj is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of God. For Prithu Maharaj, perfection is not actually a consideration. But why Prithu Maharaj is doing that? In order to teach others how to live his body. We also had been very fortunate to see how Srila Prabhupada left his body. Here Prabhupada pointed out that while leaving a body, what does a devotee do, or a spiritual personality do? He blocks the holes of different bodies, of different holes of the body. There are 9 holes in the body. The 3 holes are downwards, and other 6 are upwards. Anus and genital are downwards. So those who are fallen, those who are sinful, very, very sinful, they leave their bodies through the other lower holes, and they go to the hellish planet. When somebody leaves his body through the lower part of the body, through anus and genital, mainly through anus, sometimes it is seen that at the time of leaving his body, a person past 2. So we have to understand that that person left his body through the anus. But for a devotee, he lives his body through the upper holes. What are the upper 7 holes? 2 ears, 2 nose, 1 mouth, 2 eyes, and finally the Brahma Tandu. Brahmarantha, which actually the yogis live their bodies through that. Yogis master the art of living their body through the brain center. Whereas a devotee lives his body through his mouth. A devotee lives his body through his mouth, chanting the holy. And so a devotee What he does, he blocks his lower holes. Like I remember the morning, the day Prabhupada left his body. Prabhupada left his body in the evening. But in the morning, the Ayurvedic Kaviraj, the doctor, Ayurvedic doctor who was treating Srila Prabhupada, at about 5 o'clock, he told me that Prabhupada stopped passing urine. And if it goes on like that, then Prabhupada will not be here for more than 14 hours. So I immediately informed Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj actually called all the devotees. There was a consideration whether, anyway, let's not go into the details, I was just pointing out. Like, actually what happened, Prabhupada blocked those holes. Prabhupada didn't pass urine means that hole was blocked. So this is how we can see. And then how, throughout the day, Prabhupada was just lying on his bed, completely peaceful, completely still. Only from time to time he was opening his mouth. And when he opened his mouth, we could see that Prabhupada's tongue was vibrating. Prabhupada used to was opening his mouth, and I was pouring water on his mouth, in his mouth. And actually Prabhupada's godbrother, one of Prabhupada's very intimate godbrother, Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, was there. And Babaji Maharaj told me, see, he's still chanting. And that's the time I actually noticed that Prabhupada's tongue was vibrating. And when finally Prabhupada left his body, how did he leave his body? He left his body chanting the holy name. So that is the ultimate perfection. The yoga siddhi, the siddha yogi is living their body through their sahasrara, through their brahmarandra, is not the ultimate perfection. That is an elevation, that is an indication of elevation to the higher planetary systems. When one leaves his body through his breath center, or brahmatalu as they call it, one actually achieves the higher planetary system that has been also described in Bhagavad Gita, that yogis by living their body at certain time, at the time of Uttarayan, when the sun moves on the northern hemisphere, in the northern orbit, then one, the Shishumar Chakra, the gateway to the higher planetary system, will open up. And then one actually goes to the higher planetary system. But that is not the consideration of a devotee. A devotee's consideration is to become engaged in devotional service to Krishna, because that is the ultimate consideration. Going to the higher planetary system, one can come down to the earth planet again, the world of birth and death. But going back to Krishna Loka, there is no coming back. Jagatvana Nivartante Stathama Paramam. Going there, a living entity never comes back to this material nature. So the ultimate goal of life is to become a devotee of Krishna. Now here, one important thing to consider is that for a yogi it may be, or for a less informed people, it may be a big deal, it may be a very big achievement to leave his body through the sahasrara. But we see sometimes Krishna lives, the demons live their body through sahasrara. An example is Aghasura. Aghasura, you all remember what happened? Krishna went into his mouth and expanded himself, and he got stuck in his throat. And Krishna became so hot that Aghasura started to writhe in pain. He couldn't tolerate that pain anymore, but he didn't have any way to leave his body. His soul is stuck. So finally what happened? Penetrating through his brain center, his soul came out. And then what happened to that soul? It was hovering
in the space. It was lying on the space, static, for some time. And then when Krishna came out of his body, then he merged into Krishna's form. So, this so-called perfection of living his body through the Brahmarandhra is awarded to a demon. So what to speak of a devotee? What Krishna will offer to a devotee, we can't even imagine. And that is the point that has been quoted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Asura harina hata. Sajujya mukti, what's the big thing about Sajujya mukti? Those demons, those get killed by Krishna, they get Sajujya mukti. So why a devotee should be interested in something that Krishna offers to the demons? What devotees aspire for is the ultimate source of joyful existence. That is Krishna's lotus feet. Although Prithu Maharaj left his body in this way, but later on it has been pointed out that what actually happened? Prithu Maharaj apparently left his body in that way, the way a yogi, Siddha yogi, lives his body. But the consideration is, why Prithu Maharaj left his body at that time? How he left his body was not important. Why he left his body at that time? That is what is important. Why did he leave his body in this? Because the chariot from Vaikuntha came to take him. So Prithu Maharaj was not aspiring to go to the heavenly planets. Prithu Maharaj's goal was to become engaged in his constitutional position of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead eternally. So, once again, we must remember this point that Prabhupada is making. Devotees should not be interested about opening the chakras and so forth. Devotees should become engaged in serving Krishna. And by serving Krishna, he will achieve his ultimate perfection. And these yoga siddhis are completely insignificant to this ultimate perfection. Kaivalya narakayate. Kaivalya means sajujya mukti appears to be like going to hell. People may think Sajujya Mukti is such a big achievement. But to a devotee, the Sajujya Mukti is like going to hell. Kaivalya narakayate. So for a devotee, everything becomes insignificant. The position of Lord Brahma, kitayate. The position of Lord Brahma is like the position of an insect. That is the benefit of becoming engaged in devotional service. Everything becomes completely insignificant. Liberation becomes insignificant. Position of Indra or Brahma becomes totally insignificant. Going to heavenly planet is like a phantasmagoria, becomes like a phantasmagoria. Tridasha Pura Pushpayat. Going to attaining the higher planetary systems like heavenly planets appears to be an insignificant phantasmagoria, non-existent, just an illusory elevation to some higher sense of enjoyment. So that is the position of a devotee. So that is what Srila Prabhupada has given us. And through Srimad Bhagavatam, that point has been so wonderfully established. Thank you very much. All glories to Srimad Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Yes, Hare Krishna.
Why Prithu Maharaj left his body? He marched his eyes there into the totality of life and thus in hospitality. How do we go back to Godhead?
Life here is not the soul. Life air and soul are not the same thing. Right? Life air is the prana. There are five kinds of airs. Prana, apan, saman, van, and udan. What life air does, life air retains the soul in the body. Life air is the factor that keeps the soul in the body. So when the life air leaves the body, that means the soul left the body. Prana tag. Soul is eternal. What he did is the soul is offered to Krishna. He did that. The soul he offered to Krishna. Which means he didn't, offering the soul to Krishna, he didn't lose his identity. Rather, he became a servant of Krishna. Identifying himself in a perfect way as the eternal servant of Krishna. Yes? What's that? I say it again.
A person who is living a life from the lower class, but the name of Krishna's reincarnation is not. What is the destination?
Well, that's a confusing thing. But maybe when somebody leaves his body on auspicious days like Ekadasi, he won't leave his body in such an inauspicious way. Those if, I do not know. Did you see anybody? Yeah? Okay. I don't know. Anyway, if one leaves his body in an auspicious day, then there will be natural benefit.
Maharaj, we know that everything can be used in the Lord's service. I've come in contact with a group these people that are practicing some Astanga Yoga, they're activating their chakras and all these kinds of things. And they're getting some mystic cities. And they're utilizing these.
They're getting six cities.
They're getting the ability to heal people.
What all they're getting at the most is increasing their sex desire. That's about all they'll end up with. If one is not self-controlled, if one didn't know how to control his sex desire, if one doesn't know how to retain his vital energy within the body, he can't go beyond any chakra. So these are all waste of time. A cheater and a cheated. Some bogey jogi, in order to make some money, just misleading these people. Prabhupada is the only genuine person. You know why? Prabhupada came and said, if you want to follow spiritual life, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. Do you find anyone, any other group promoting that? And Prabhupada is pointing out how it is happening. Like, you start taking intoxication. Does intoxication makes the fire in the intoxication is actually fire. Poison is subtle fire. So you are actually drinking that fire. So your fire in the body is in becoming intense. So in order to subside that fire, you have to eat meat. Therefore, those who take intoxication, they have to take meat. And when people take meat, they can't control sex desire. Because meat eating will inevitably increase sex desire. Excepting some individuals, like a lion, is a meat eater, but has sex only once a year. That is a lion's. So if somebody is a lion-like personality, then probably he can tolerate, he can digest meat and not get affected. But otherwise, those who take non-vegetarian food, they're bound to get involved in illicit sex life. They're bound to get involved. You cannot avoid. So all those people, those who are promoting all these kind of practices in the name of
opening Ashtra Chakra and things like that. They're just cheaters. First of all, we know that in this age, it's not possible. In the age of Kali, it is not possible. It's meant for the people in Satya Yuga. Even in Treta Yuga, people didn't have the qualification. What to speak of Kali Yuga? Yes.
I want to know, can spirit soul exert force on material objects? Of course, the soul present in this body can exert force, like myself present in this body, can exert force on matter. But like unembodied souls like ghosts, can they exert force on matter, material objects?
You see, the existence as a ghost means being in a subtle body. Right? So they can't, you see, just a subtle body cannot move matter. Unless and until they have some mystic power. There may be some, say for example, somebody can make some very special personalities, can use their mind to move matter. They can do that, but they are very rare individuals. They have practiced the art of doing that. But in general, can you make matter move through your mind? The only thing that you can move with your mind is your own body. And with that body, with that medium, you can move other matter. Now the ghosts, what happens, they have a subtle body with their subtle desires, but they do not have the gross body to fulfill their gross desires. That's why the ghosts possess others in order to fulfill their desire. They haunt. When they find a weak person, they take over that body and make that body, through that body they try to fulfill their desires. And that is what is called ghostly haunting. Or yes? Give the microphone.
Everyone is subjected to death. So why people not hear about death?
Oh, everyone is subjected to death.
Then everybody knows it also. But why they don't have enough fear about their final death?
Why they don't have or do have?
Don't have fear.
Is people don't have fear about death?
They know that they will die, but why they are not serious about it?
Oh, they are not serious about it. Because they are in ignorance. In simple words, because they are stupid. Right? If you see that something is burning, and if you walk into that, you'll get burnt. Right? If you walk into fire, what will happen? He'll get burnt, right? An intelligent person, what he'll do? He won't go there, he'll just run away from there. But what a stupid person will do? Run into it. Like an example of that is insects. Insects, they run into fire, fly into fire and get burst. What does it mean? They don't have the knowledge. They don't know what's going to happen. And that also, another important consideration in this respect, when Yudhishthir Maharaj was asked by Jamraj, what is the most amazing thing? What is the most amazing thing in this world? And you know what was Yudhishthir Maharaj's answer? Although everyone is seeing that everybody else has died and everybody else is going to die, still he thinks that he is not going to die. That is a living in the most amazing thing. Now there is a reason also, because a living entity is a spiritual being and he is not going to die, that's why he thinks that he is not going to die. Because a living entity is immortal. Therefore, he thinks he is not going to die.
His mistake is, he thinks that he is his body and the body will live eternally. That's the mistake. So to be situated in knowledge means to recognize that you are not the body, but you are a spiritual soul.
During the passage of years after years, when he gets very old, so
yeah,
during the last days of the before to old age, during old age times, we feel that people are very, at that time people are very serious. Means during the years stage, are like,
no, people don't become serious at the old age. Also,
means serious about.
Only devotees become serious because they have the knowledge. It happens, like I have seen some devotees who left Krishna consciousness, but when they realized that they are going to die, then they came back to the association of devotees. Devotees do that. But the materialistic people, they say, they think they are not going to die. They think their doctor is going to make him. Disease is there, medicine is there, I won't die. That is the most amazing thing. Like, although we know that we are going to die, but we don't accept that fact. And we don't act accordingly. Now, do you realize that you're going to die? Or do you think you don't die? You're not going to die. You will die. So, what are you going to do about it? That's why you are here. We all are here because we know that we are going to die someday. And we know, we want to learn how to die properly. I remember once a devotee's parents were very upset. Like they were telling him that why do you always talk about death, death and death? Ever since he became a devotee, he was preaching to his parents that you're going to die, and this after death, this is what will happen, and so forth. And they were surprised, why are you talking, you're so young, why are you talking about death all the time? But it is an sign of intelligence, it's the intelligent person who has the foresight to see that he is going to die. Not only he is going to die, everybody else is going to die. Now tell me, what is the sign of intelligence? You know, what is intelligence? Huh? You want to say something? Intelligence is the ability to see beyond what your eyes can see. Without intelligence, we see beyond our visual perception. So more intelligent one is, more far-sighted he is. So the farthest sight is that you're going to die. So let's prepare for death. Nobody can say that I'm going to live for 100 years or 20 years or even 10 years or 1 year. It can come any moment. That's why for a devotee, intelligence of a devotee is, he's prepared for death all the time. Let it come, I'm ready. That is the attitude of a devotee. And the non-devotee, his attitude is completely opposite. Today I'm suffering, but tomorrow I'll become immortal. I'm not going to die. As Yudhishthira Maharaj pointed out, that although everybody sees that everyone else is dying or everyone else will die, but still he thinks that he is not going to die. Yes?
Maharaj, in this context, while accepting the fact that hour of dying is better than hour of living, is there any such right claim for us to follow?
Yeah. So the real art of living is to master the art of dying. If you know how to die, then only you can live. And the Vedas are teaching you that. They are actually pointing out how to conquer death. That's why in the Vedic culture, they are not afraid of dying. The Kshatriyas are just going to the battlefield to fight. They know that they may not come back. The Brahmanas are just, you know, although they are here, they are not interested in material enjoyment. So these two higher classes of people, They are enjoying their existence to the fullest extent because they have mastered the art of dying.
The NSS guideline could follow on that.
Chant Hare Krishna. That's the guideline. Follow the four regulative principles. Read Prabhupada's books. Associate with the devotees. That's the guideline. Why association of the devotees? Because the devotees are the people, those who have mastered the art of dying. Right? Why read Prabhupada's books? Because Prabhupada's books are giving you the informations about the art of dying. Why the following the four regulative principles? Because the following the four regulative principles, you are actually conquering death. And by chanting Hare Krishna, you are re-establishing your relationship with Krishna. So these four things are the most important consideration about art of dying. And ultimately, as I said, the art of dying is the real art of living. Mastering the art of dying is the real art of living. Are you familiar with an expression? A coward dies many times, but a brave man dies only once. So you want to live like a coward, or you want to be a hero? Hare Krishna. Yes, who had a question in that back? The soul.
What is the age? What is my age? Soul.
Are you reading Prabhupada's books?
Yes, I am.
Okay, what does Prabhupada say about that?
Eternal.
Right, so eternal. So why are you asking? How old? How old is the soul? Soul is eternal. The body changes, different bodies. The soul is eternal. Soul has been always there. Nayam bhutva bhavita vana puya. Ajo nitya shashvata ayam purano na hannate hannamane shari. That is the identity of the soul. Aja, unborn. Nitya, eternal. Shashvata, ever existing. Ayam purano has been always there. So that is the identity of the soul. The soul, what is the age of the soul? Eternal. What's the age of the body? How old are you? Right. That is the age of the body, not the age of the soul. Which means your soul has taken up this body on such and such date and has been there for so many years and so many months and so many days. Okay. Yes. Take the, give the mic. Actually, we should get a cordless mic.
Yeah,
okay, will it go there? Okay, say.
The person has been leading a sinful life.
Sinful life, yeah.
At the end, we see he has a glorious death and the devotees are there and he's standing to obey him. So, what kind of position does he assume? And secondly, if there's an ecclesiastic teacher, like the other devotee, like him, who are being the sports of his hand, this one or the other.
Yeah. You see, Krishna has made various arrangements like Ganga water, Tulasi, Vrindavan dust, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Now these are not material things. These are spiritual articles with its spiritual power. Say for example, somebody is dying. He may have been very, very sinful. But if somebody puts some Ganga water in his mouth, all the sins will be absolved. Similarly, somebody may have been very sinful. But if the devotees come and chant Hare Krishna at that time, he'll get inconceivable spiritual benefit. So these are the good fortune that will be created by the devotees. Or devote the arrangement of Krishna. So that is why It doesn't matter how sinful one has been, but our business is to create the good fortune. Alright? Like, you can just put some tulasi, another thing. If at the time of death, if his body is burnt with the contact of tulasi, he'll go back to the heaven, he'll go back to the spiritual sky. So these are the specific benefits or good fortune that Krishna has, spiritual benefits that Krishna has created. Yes.
Some people have some mystic powers. So by seeing them like Vasudeva and Krishna.
By?
By seeing them.
Is it that they have made some
You see, a very rich man's son sees some rich people. Although the rich man's son may not have any money in his pocket, but his attitude towards the rich people are, whoever you are, compared to my father, you're nobody. So that is the attitude of a devotee. They are the children of the richest personality. Therefore, compared to them, in their eyes, everyone is insignificant.
My question was regarding that, like you told that in this case, no one can reawaken their chakra. So, like, by seeing their mystic powers, you also told that how when one.
Well, when you have $1,000,000 and you see that somebody is flushing his $1,000. What is the attitude? Are you impressed? No, because you already have $1,000,000. Right? So what is $1,000? You don't go run after his $1,000. Rather you tell him that, look, you are my brother. We belong to the same father. And if you come to the father, you'll also become a millionaire. So why are you interested about this $1,000? Come and become a millionaire. So that is a devotee. That's why a devotee preaches. To create the good fortune for everybody. Because everybody is a son or daughter of Krishna. The richest personality. Yes, I show you. You take the mic. What is very often?
Suicide.
Yeah.
It's a very offensive. So if somebody puts tulsi leaves in part of his mouth and commit that, it's what they should do.
Well, sometimes people think that way. Like Sanatana Goswami, he wanted to give up his body under the wheels of the Rath chariot, Jagannath's chariot. Thinking that, you know, if one dies under the wheels of Jagannath's chariot, he will attain liberation. He will attain. So he decided to do that. So, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out that, look, your body doesn't belong to me. Your body doesn't belong to you. It belongs to me. So who gave you the right to destroy my body? My property. Why take a chance?
Yeah.
What if somebody doesn't put tulasi? Then will what? Or he take a tulasi and commit suicide. What if the tulasi falls out of your mouth at that time? So why take a chance? Rather, this body is such a wonderful instrument to be engaged in the service of Krishna. So you engage it. Okay, so I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. गौर प्रेमानंदे
हरि
श्रील प्रभुपाद की।